following message is brought to you by Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We exist to bring glory to God by knowing Christ and making Him known. If you would like to visit our church, we hold multiple services on Sunday mornings, starting at 9 a.m. We are located between Motuka Wharf and Edai Town. Pickups are available 709-1000.
We got a lot of people here today. That's good. Gus is good. I can see it. Gus is good. All right. Good to have you here. We're going to be in Psalm chapter 98 this morning. Psalm chapter 98. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We're going to read the entire nine verses together. Psalm chapter 98. All right. Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath begotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth towards the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise, then rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp, the voice of a song. With the trumpets and sound of cornet, make a joyful noise, make the Lord the King. Before the sea roar, fullness thereof, and the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together. Before the Lord, for he hath come to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. Praise the Lord.
Well done this morning as we've come to worship the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 and also 1 John chapter 1. If you want to just put a piece of paper in at 1 John chapter 1, we'll be staying in Luke 2 for the majority of our time together. One of the ones that we have for Christmas, we sang last week, is Joy to the World. And I actually plan on at the end of the service today, we'll sing that song together as we close our service, is Joy to the World. Joy to the World is a song that was written by a guy named Isaac Watts in 1719. In case you didn't know, that's a long time ago. And he wrote that as a part. It was just one of the songs. He did not intend it to be a Christmas song. It was just one song in a whole book of songs that he had written from the Psalms. So we might say songs from Psalms. And it was from Psalm 98 that we read this morning. So our scripture reading came from that. And he wrote the song, Joy to the World. I might just take a minute and walk through the different verses with us. Joy to the World. At the end of the song, at the end of the service, we'll sing this together. So let me just put the words up here. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and in heaven and nature sing. And in that, you can even see the angels, right? There's heaven and earth. We're together singing his praise because the Lord has come. And then in the second verse, he moves on. He says, joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ. While fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains repeat the sounding joy. In that Psalm 98, it used the phrase, let the floods clap their hands. And you can just have in your image, in your mind, you can see a flood that comes up and then the water crashes. And the psalmist, he said, that's as if they were clapping their hands in praise to God. And he goes, and then you can just fast forward. You remember Jesus on the way into Jerusalem? He said, don't tell these people to stop shouting Hosanna, because if they stop, the rocks are going to cry out. And so let there be rejoicing, sounding joy. And then the third verse, he steps out. Isaac Watts steps out of Psalm 98 entirely, and he goes straight to the gospel with it. He says, no more let sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow far as the curse is found. So you can see the curse from Genesis 3. Adam and Eve falling in sin, and then God says, I'm going to place a curse. There will be thorns, and He places the curse on all of the earth, and then in all of the earth, Jesus Christ brings in blessing to much more, as we saw last week, much more than ever the curse could come, comes the blessing from the Savior. The last verse in this song, He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations proof. You know, it's one thing to make somebody know something. It's something else entirely to make them prove it. And He takes the nations and He makes them prove the glories of God's righteousness and the wonders of His love as He captures our hearts, not by force, but by love. And what a blessing that this is. As we come to the end of the service today, we'll sing that song together. We're in the Advent season. Last week we saw the word peace. This week the word joy. Next week, we see the word hope. I'd like for us to look at Luke chapter 2. I'll read the first 10 verses together. Today, we'll focus in on the word joy. But I'm going to admit, as I read Luke 2, verses 1 down to verse 10, the scene that is there is not really a scene of joy. But there's joy that's coming. So let's read through Luke chapter 2, verses 1 down to verse 10. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. The promised Redeemer, the Messiah, He who is wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, had come in the flesh. For 4,000 years, man had been separated from God, continually doing sacrifices, trying to cover their sin. And now, God had come in the flesh to bring peace to men. This was, by all accounts, the most joyous occasion for all of history. For man could find joy in God coming to be with man. Emmanuel, God with us. There are a lot of words as I see verse 10. Fear not, the angel said. I bring you good tidings of great joy. There are a lot of words that are like joy that just do not carry the same meaning. We have many times in the past talked about the difference between happiness and joy. There are a lot of other words that seem a lot alike. Satisfaction, happiness, elation, excitement, pleasure, delight. All of them, we might say, are kind of in the same family of words. Like we would say, there are bad things and then there are good things. And joy is one of those good things. Excitement and delight and pleasure. I'll just kind of walk through some of them. And maybe if we define each one, and I'll just walk through them very quickly so you can see they're different. Joy is all by itself. So you have satisfaction. You know that I can have a meal and it will satisfy me. Right? Satisfaction. I can have a meal and it will satisfy me. Elation. I can see my child who has been away at university for a long time, but then in the moment that I see her come back, I can be elated, excited about that. Pleasure. I can take pleasure in sitting at the top at Boira at the pass and watch the sun go down. I can take pleasure in that. I can have excitement about an upcoming event. Excitement. Or I can take delight in a cup of coffee and a little bit of quiet time in the morning. Anybody else have delight in that? I can have happiness with a single phone call. you ever have that? All of a sudden somebody calls you, you answer the phone, and then what they tell you, it makes you happy. Right? You didn't expect that phone call, but all of a sudden now you've got happiness. And by the way, that same very happiness can go away just as quickly with a phone call. Or, moms and dads, you might recognize this one. When I come down the steps in the morning, having been asleep all night, and when I walk into the living room to find that my children left the light and the aircon on all night long the night before, all my happiness goes away in that moment. You see, these different words have different meanings. And so we see in this passage, we have a completely different word that's coming out in verse 10. He says, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Joy has a different meaning. The meaning that I find here in joy, let me define it for you. I think that this is a good way to define joy. Joy is a deep understanding down in your soul that Jesus Christ is your greatest treasure. Joy is a deep understanding, we could even say way down inside of your soul, that Jesus Christ is the greatest treasure. Well, another way that I could say it is like this. Real joy is found in the right treasure. Real joy is found in the right treasure. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk through a couple of examples of this from Scripture. And I'll admit, this was difficult to boil down to just four. I've got four of them. It was difficult to boil them down because there's 165 passages in Scripture that talk about joy. So I'm going to just point out some that you might be familiar with already. So let me start off with last week. We had the wise men. Do you remember the wise men? The Magi came, and there was a verse there when they left from Herod's palace and went towards Bethlehem. I don't know if you remember what the verse said. I've got it here. This is Matthew 2 and verse number 10. It says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, you see the word joy there. Now watch as you tie that in directly with the treasure that they have. So they are leaving from Herod because they came to Herod's palace and they thought they were going to find the babe at the palace. But they did not. When they left from the palace, there's the star again. And now what do they have? Now they have joy because the star is going to take them to their greatest treasure. Now how do I know that Jesus is their greatest treasure? Let me show it to you. This is verse 11, the very next verse in that passage. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. These are some precious gifts. All right, so gold. Anybody bring gold this morning? Didn't think so. Doesn't matter who you are. Very few of us carrying around gold, especially to give to somebody else, right? These guys made a long trip so that they could bring their lesser treasures to give to the greatest treasure. You see this? So here, their joy is directly tied to knowing that Jesus is their greatest treasure. Now, if they had been, let's say if this was just any baby king. Let's say it's not Jesus. It's any baby king. These kingmakers, I seriously doubt they would have taken the month's journey it would have taken to get there. Instead, they probably would have put together maybe a care package. They wanted a little basket. Put some nappies inside, maybe some milk formula, and they would have sent that off to the baby king, right? But no, they realized that Jesus is the greatest treasure. They jump on the camels, and off they come, because they're going to bring their treasures to give to the greatest treasure. You see, real joy is found in knowing what the real treasure is. Jesus gave a parable about this, second example. Jesus gave a parable about this. You might remember it from Matthew 13, verse 44. Here's what Jesus said. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. So here's Jesus, one verse, he gives a parable about a guy walking through a field. Now, can you imagine if this was you? You're walking through the field, and all of a sudden you stumble across, oh my goodness, there's a treasure here in this field. I have no idea, and Jesus didn't describe what the treasure was, but this guy, you see the verse, this guy goes back and sells everything he's got so that he can come and buy that field because he knows there's a treasure inside of it. Now, here's what I find very interesting is the wording that Jesus used in this parable. Notice that in the middle of the verse, he says, he hides and for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has. Don't be mistaken. He did not say that he went and sold with joy. Now, you and I would sell with joy. And here's what I'm thinking by this. I'm going to sell all of these things because I'm going to get that thing. That's selling with joy. This guy is selling for joy. In other words, he knows I will have this greatest joy when I have that greatest treasure. And so he sells all that he has because he has anticipation of joy. It's not with joy. It's not I had joy coming into this. It's I'm going to get joy when I let go of everything else and I grasp the greatest treasure. So here, remember, real joy is found in understanding who the real treasure is. Oh, brothers and sisters, elation, I can have that. Satisfaction, it comes and goes. Happiness is in for a moment and out in a moment. But real joy comes with knowing who your real treasure is. There's another one. You remember the women at the tomb? You remember when the Savior died on the cross? The Scriptures say that the women saw where He was buried. Jesus was buried, was there for 3 days, and then Sunday morning, He's going to rise again. When the women come, it's not yet dawn. So the sun's not yet up. It's still a bit dark. They make the journey to the tomb, and when they get to the tomb, Jesus is already gone. Remember that? Now, here's what the Bible says. The angels were there, and one of the angels asked them, "Who do you seek? You looking for the living among the dead?" What an amazing question. And the three ladies that are there, they find out that Jesus is already risen. And the angel says, go back and tell the disciples. Now, I'm going to read you the verse that happens in. This is Matthew 28, verse 5. The angel answered, said unto the women, fear not. By the way, we said last week the opposite of peace is fear. The opposite of joy is fear. Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, for He's risen, as He said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. 2 verses later, they run out. Here they go. Verse number 8, they departed quickly from the sepulchre. Now watch the words. With fear and great joy. And they did run to bring His disciples' words. So here are three ladies, at least three ladies that we know about. One is Mary Magdalene. She'd had the evil spirits. Jesus had cast them out. She had broken the alabaster box upon Jesus' feet. She's really given everything. She's all in, by the way. Jesus goes to the cross. She lost everything. She's all in. You've got Mary, Jesus' mother. Her whole life has been about Jesus. He goes to the cross. It's all over for her. She's all in. There's another one that the Bible names is Salome. And Salome is the mother of James and John. Might I just add, she's all in. And when Jesus died, for those women, it's over. They don't know that there's a resurrection coming. And all they know is now our Lord is gone. But then when they get the news that Jesus is risen again, they've received back their greatest treasure. And so they run with fear. Yeah, there's fear because we don't know what tomorrow holds, but there's great joy because we got our treasure back. And here's the women running. My goodness, what an amazing picture. And by the way, if I can just pause here, remember that joy sometimes comes after mourning, but then also sometimes joy can still come in the middle of mourning. Oh, happiness doesn't do that. Go. But joy? If I know where my greatest treasure is, I'll have joy. And this today, it might be great, and today it might not be great, but I can still have joy. Let me give you one more. Come over to 1 John. Hold your place in Luke 2. I'll come back there. Come over to 1 John, and I want you to see this one. Oh, I love this passage. 1 John. This is the Apostle John writing as he's coming to the end of his life. He's an older man here. He's writing. He wrote like three little epistles at the end of the Bible, and he's just sending them out to some people that he loved. And as he writes this, I can just imagine the old man penning these words, and he's going to tell us why he writes these words. Remember, you find real joy when you know what your real treasure is. And here he is. This is 1 John chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 down to verse 4, and I want you to hear the words that he uses. This is 1 John 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. You know what he's describing? The greatest treasure ever. That's Jesus. So let me read those words again, and you can insert the thought that this is Jesus in every one of those phrases. So here he says, that which was from the beginning, that's Jesus, which we have heard. Remember, John traveled with Jesus, lived with Jesus, laid his head on Jesus' breast, which we have seen with our eyes and have looked upon and our hands have handled the word of life. For life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and share unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So he said, Jesus was with the Father, and he was right here with us. Now verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Now verse 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. How does your joy get to be full? In knowing that Jesus is your greatest treasure. And my goodness, John just unpacks it one thing after another in this book. I'll just point at a couple of them. Look at verse number 7. He says, if you walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. What a blessedness that comes as Him being our treasure. Then you can see it in verse 9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now look down into chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. That's Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, what a blessed treasure He is. One more, and then we'll come out of 1 John. Look at verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Isn't it a blessing that we have Jesus as a treasure? And when we realize that He's our treasure, oh, we can have greatest joy. And yet, men and women continually seek treasure in their own things. I might list a few of them very quickly. Perhaps you think, young person, you think maybe that you'll find great treasure in a good-looking girlfriend or boyfriend. That is fleeting. That's not joy. Happiness is she looked at me and she smiled and my heart went pitter-patter, pitter-patter. That's happiness. And the moment she looks at you and scowls, happiness is gone. And so, in that moment when you think everything is wonderful, you're placing your treasure in the wrong thing. For God never created man to be an idol. We're to find treasure in Him. And in finding treasure in Christ, you will find real joy. Or maybe you find, for those of us that are not so young, maybe you find treasure in a big bank account or a fancy car. And again, those things are fleeting. They will run away just as much as they are sought after. And in so doing, you will bring much sorrow to your soul. I'll give you a verse from 1 Timothy chapter 6. You might know the first part of this verse, but many of us miss the last part of this verse. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Which while some coveted after, they've erred from the faith, even pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Oh, find a greater treasure than a fancy car and a big bank account. And some might find treasure in a social status so that I will do everything I can to elevate myself and push others down. And maybe if I could even say this in a kind way, seek education so that I can become more than my peers. Oh, there are right reasons to do a lot of things in life, and there's also a lot of wrong reasons to do it. And pushing myself up while I push others down, do you realize that it does not matter? Even you could have a PhD and one little tiny blood vessel in your brain can tweak and everything changes. They'll have to teach you how to use a spoon again. You might remember Nebuchadnezzar had that happen. And for 7 years he crawled around on his hands and knees and ate grass like a cow. Oh, don't seek treasure in earthly possessions and lifting myself up. When I might even say that some of us might find treasure in a little bit of peace and quiet. All I want is just a little peace and quiet, and I can just be by myself. And if you have children, you know what I mean. And yet, in a moment, the laugh of an innocent child will shatter your treasure. Let us be careful not to seek treasure in those things that are lesser. Instead, seek treasure in Christ. Tim Keller said it like this: every treasure on earth will tell you, sell it all and you can have me. Every treasure on earth will say that. And yet, Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure, said, I am the only treasure that gave my life for you. Let us seek greatest treasure in Him, for therein we will find true joy. Now come back to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to look at two responses in closing. Response of the angels, response of the shepherds, and we'll be done. Two responses. I see the response of the angels. You can see in verse number 10. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. So in other words, this news is not just for you shepherds. And so here's some shepherds. You can just imagine the shepherds, the lowliest of all the people of the day. It's the worst job you can have in that time. They did not trust the shepherds. And there's the shepherds out on the hillside, dark hillside outside of Bethlehem. And they're looking after the sheep. And all of a sudden, an angel appeared to them. And by the way, the scripture says that they were afraid. I would be too. Dark night, hillside, me looking after sheep and an angel pops out of the sky, I'm afraid too. And then the angel says, hey, wait, fear not. I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all people. Now, in that moment, here are a group of shepherds that are just about to wet themselves. And they look up and there's an angel. And then the very next, the following after this, look at verse 13. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So you get this picture. There's a handful of shepherds. I don't know, 5 of them, 10 of them. I don't know. There's a handful of shepherds there. One angel announces the birth of Christ and a whole bunch of angels can't help it and they all pop out and start singing. Now, I don't know if that was by permission or if it was by God's command. So I don't know if God said, all right, all you angels, go out there and sing, or if it was the angels looked to the Father and said, would it be all right if we do this? Don't know which one happened. And yet I can just imagine, if you'll think with me, what it must have been like in heaven as Jesus, who was eternal, had been with the Father from before time ever began. So when God, this is a bit theological, follow me here. Colossians 1 says that when God said, let there be light, it was actually Jesus that created the light. And so Jesus has been forever. He does not change. He was not brought into existence when Mary birthed Him. He always has been. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always has been. And so there's Jesus, co-eternal with the Father, forever and ever. And for the very first time, Jesus disappeared from heaven. And that was when Mary was with child. And so for the last 9 months, you just imagine this, for the last 9 months, Jesus has been gone from heaven and He's been in the womb of Mary. I don't know if you ever thought about this. The angels, I can just imagine. Now, I could be off on this. The Bible doesn't speak deeply about it, but I think it might help us to understand what made the angels so excited that day. Because here's the... Jesus is in the womb of Mary for 9 months being carried around. And during that 9 months, she went and visited Elizabeth. You remember that one? She went and visited Elizabeth. And John the Baptist was about 6 months along inside of Elizabeth's womb. And John the Baptist became Pentecostal and he started jumping up and down inside the womb. And there was, this is all happening while Jesus is in the womb of Mary. And it's amazing if you think about this. And then they make the journey from Galilee, Nazareth, down to Bethlehem. That's anywhere from 9 to 11 days' journey. And Mary's riding a donkey. Now, I know that that seems like it would be a really nice, picturesque thing to do. But if you've ever been involved with horses, a single-day ride on a horse is not going to leave you feeling very good. 11 days? My goodness. And this isn't just a horse, this is a stubborn donkey. And for 11 days, they're going on what in places is a treacherous road. And I can just imagine as the angels are watching this happen. And they know that one's carrying the babe. That one is carrying God in the flesh. And for the last 4,000 years... all of mankind has needed this one. No other baby has ever been like this one. This one is the one who created all that there is, including the angels themselves. And so they're watching as Mary makes the trek. And oh, there's some rascals up around the next bend. I don't know, maybe this was happening. And the angels went over there and they just kind of scattered these guys off. Get back, get back. We got to take care of this babe as he comes through. And here comes Mary all the way into Bethlehem. And from door to door, as they're trying to find a place for them to sleep, the angels are just hitting themselves up the head. Can't you guys realize how important this baby is? And they're so excited about the birth of the Christ, so that when the baby is born out on the hillside, the angels have been out here and they just can't wait any longer. And one of them, the angel of the Lord, the scripture says, the angel of the Lord, he pops out into the shepherds. Hey guys, oh, by the way, there was just a baby born in Bethlehem, and the rest of them go, we can't handle it anymore. Woo! Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. You see, this is the right response to knowing the right treasure is Jesus Christ. And the right response is praise His name, for He is glorious. He's a game changer. Everything changes in life when you find your real treasure in the Savior. That's the angels. Well, what about the shepherds? Well, look down to verse number 15. In verse number 15, it says, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another. I imagine at first they said, whew, never seen anything like that before. Then they said, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. So they do two things when they come into Bethlehem. They come in to see the babe, and they also come in to tell about the babe's birth. Right? You can just imagine. These shepherds come into town with all these sheep, ba, ba, ba. Everybody's wanting a nice night's sleep. That's why they keep the shepherds on the hillside. And yet here come the shepherds all down through the little streets inside of Bethlehem. What are you guys making all that racket? I can just imagine they open the shutters, look down into the streets. What are you guys making all that noise for? And the shepherds yell back up, you'd never believe a baby was born over there. Babies are born all the time. Who cares? No, this one's special. Angels appeared to us. And I can just imagine all of the residents of Bethlehem saying, uh-huh, shepherds, what have you guys been into tonight? They came in to see and they came in to tell. They came to see the babe who is the greatest treasure. And by the way, this great treasure never wears out. He's inexhaustible. Here's what I mean by that. Has anybody been to Wow or Bololo? Anybody? Those of you that have been to Wow and Bololo. I've flown over Wow and Bololo, and I'm going to be honest, flying over Wow and Bololo, I think that valley is probably one of the saddest looking valleys in all of Papua New Guinea. If you've flown over it, you'll know why. Because they've been trying to get gold out of that ground for the last 100 years. And it looks like, when you fly over, it looks like it's a war-torn area with little bomb pockets all over the place. And if you go to Wow and Bololo today, even today, the Sunday before Christmas, there will be people all through the river panning for gold, even right now. And everybody's there searching for gold and trying to find a nugget. And when they find that nugget, you know what they want? Another nugget. And then they get that one, and you know what they want? Another nugget. I've never been to Porgera, but I've seen the pictures of the mine and the area surrounding it, and my heart goes out. Because people are searching for a treasure that is inexhaustible. And continually searching, and in the moment that they find a nugget, you know what they get? Happiness. And guess what goes away just as fast as it comes? And yet the joy that is found in Jesus Christ, the real treasure, is inexhaustible. Do you realize that He can be the treasure for me, and He can be the treasure for you, and the treasure for you, and the treasure for you, and the treasure for all of us at the very same time? And He never runs out, and we keep coming back to Him. He is the treasure that is inexhaustible. He is the greatest treasure. And so that, for that reason, the angels proclaim, oh, He is great. Tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And so like the angels, may I encourage us to rejoice. And like the shepherds, may I encourage us to proclaim joy to the world. For the Lord has come. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. We're going to sing that song after the prayer. I hope that as we sing, that your hearts would swell as the words take on meaning. So, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to be the greatest treasure. Father, I pray that we would not seek treasure in earthly things that fleet and fall apart and walk away and come for a moment and disappear in a moment. But, Lord, I pray that we would seek You as our treasure, for You are the real treasure. Lord, I pray that we would not seek fleeting things, but instead seek the eternal. Lord, it is with joy that we will sing. Let heaven and nature sing, for Your glory is magnificent. And as we come into Christmas this year, I pray that we would find Jesus Christ to be the greatest treasure, for therein we will find real joy. Thank You for Your goodness on our lives. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message by Pastor Matt Allen of Capital City Baptist Church of Port Moresby. We would love to have you join us for service if you are in the area. If you need help with transportation, please give us a call on 7009-1000. Again, it's 7009-1000.